When burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share, tears drive away the smiles and leave my heart in pain. Smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played.
Is coming soon. No kidding, eh? Hallelujah. Ah, die Ulten das Achtzug. But we're getting closer, that's for sure. The Lord Jesus is the center of the universe. When you get into the Word of God, you will notice that the New Testament focuses on Jesus. What he did, who he is, how he is. And it gives us an interesting message. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on what the Bible focuses on, which is Jesus. You study the Apostle Paul. He says, I count it all as dung that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I had an argument years ago with a lady who claimed that everybody was saved, regardless who they were. It's called universalism, I think. And I, for the life of me, couldn't believe that she would think like that because she claimed to be a born-again Christian. Everybody is saved. You don't have to worry about it. We're all going to heaven. eventually we're going to have, what do they call it, the Lord's communion with Hitler, with all those guys, Herod. I'm telling you, what an incredible statement for a person who claims to be a Christian to make. And the Lord gave me a scripture, and I didn't know where it stood. He gave it to me, so get to know where your scriptures stand. And it took me up almost, I think I only found it the next day. We were there 2 days, stayed overnight. And finally I found it in the Bible, reading through the whole 1 Corinthians. And it goes like this: if anybody love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. You know what that means? In the Living New Testament, if anybody does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. That person is damned. If you have a person out there who does not love Jesus, he is damned and he is on his way to the lake of fire. Never mind, everybody is saved. So we need to understand that. A person who is not born again by the Spirit of God is separated from God. But I got good news. If you love Jesus, and for those of you watching through the internet, and there's quite a few already, if you love Jesus and you don't quite know yet, your heart hasn't conceived the full truth of your status, if you love Jesus, don't worry. He'll bring you in. He'll open your heart because it depends on your love for the Savior. And why do we need the love for the Savior? Because if you study the Word of God, how perfect He is, how perfect God is, and what He demands for you to have to come into His presence, you will then love Him. Hallelujah. It's like a $1,000 check that you have to have when you go to some event. If you don't have that check, you don't go, right? Who likes hockey here? All of you, especially in the last few games. If you don't have a hockey ticket or a ticket to see the game, you're not going in there unless you're like me. Years ago, I found ways to sneak in there. Just make sure you don't get caught. And according to Scripture, God, after everything said and done, we'll check out the guests, the people who are there, in case somebody thinks of sneaking through. And he will say, how did you get in here? You don't have the right dress on. Get out. And guess what? It's going to be detrimental for those people. So today I will teach on an interesting message that I'll need the Lord's help to navigate through. So have patience with my mistakes, especially my spelling mistakes. Have mercy with me. I only had a Hutterite education, if you know what I'm talking about. That was in the 60s. So I did pretty good, I think, after those years. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with this amazing book of truths so that we can see who you are and who we are. We ask you to open our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing we have to understand, before we can minister to people, we have to be delivered from them. I was delivered from people years ago. Regardless what you say against me, as long as I know I'm right, it does not bother me a bit. Especially when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. Du kannst mich verwickelt hasen, ihr überschnuppet, if I know I'm going to heaven, it don't bother me. You know why? Because I have the Spirit of the living God. And what you say doesn't matter. So, in John chapter 14, in verse 15, I want to come back to what that lady said about everybody being saved. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Very interesting. Right from get-go. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Lord God gives you the Spirit of truth. You do not conjure it up yourself. It says, he that knows knowledge, he that hears and sees what people have, he understands it because he created it. God gives humans knowledge. They don't get it by themselves. So if he gives knowledge, can you imagine what he knows? It tells us, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. So will the world be saved? No. Why not? Because they don't have the Spirit of truth. They don't receive it, and then they don't know him. Except for those who come to know the one that gives truth, and that is Jesus. But you know him, he says, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. So I want to ask a question today. For those of you who are not quite sure of yourself, do you have that Spirit of truth? The key is, get to know who you are first, then start working on improving yourself. Because if you start improving on yourself, before you know who you are, you're going to be sabotaged at every turn. I kid you not. If you don't fight from victory, it'll be hard to fight for victory. It'll be impossible. You have to know who you are. You have to fight from victory to get victory, to get to know who you are. So this is what the Bible is teaching. It's in Christ alone our hope is found. And that's it. You can't get away from that. When you study religious people, and I do study different religions of the world, some are incredibly demonic. But if you really study it with a fine-tuned scripture understanding, all religions are demonic, regardless how close to the truth they are. The closer to the truth they are, the more dangerous they become. Isn't that the truth? Because you seem to know you know it. You have this feeling, I must be on the right track. But if you miss the mark, you miss the mark. If you want to try that, go deer hunting. You'll soon find out. There's no meat in the freezer if you miss the mark. And nobody's going to heaven until they know and understand and have that interesting truth. Listen to this one. I want to take you through a list here. In Matthew chapter 22 in verse 37, the Jews, the Pharisees were arguing with God. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now that's a heap of words here, right? I picked that word because everybody knows what it means. That's a lot of words that speak volumes. That's a few words that speak volumes. But if you say, that's a heap of words, it covers everything. It's a lot, it's saying. What is it saying? If you do this, then you qualify. But can you do this? Now, this is where a lot of Christians, oh, yes, we can. And I'm going to go through that. It says here, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind. Do you do that? Do I do that? Yes. Do I do it all the time? Every time, all the time. I do catch myself when sometimes it's not quite there. How about, let's say you do love the Lord your God all the time. How about your neighbor? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? That's where the catch is. And I want to check it out here. Are you always telling the truth about him? Do you never gossip? I don't. Liar. And then it tells us that we should not commit adultery. Well, I don't commit adultery. And for the last 50 years, 25 years, I've trained my mind not to commit adultery, if you know what I'm talking about. Very interesting situation here. Now, don't put me down for my good preaching. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Are we perfect in that? I should say not. But you have to be perfect. No killing there. We shouldn't kill people. But do we assassinate their character every now and then? Yes, yes, yes. So we're failures at keeping the law. But it says, you fill the commandments if you do these things. How about wanting what is not yours? When somebody watches a TV show and they build a house, renovate a house, oh, I would love this, I would love that. Or when you watch your favorite hunting movie and they show a gun that you haven't had before. Boy, wish I could have that. On and on we go. We can point at ourselves and say with an honest heart, I don't think I qualify for keeping the Ten Commandments because I may love the Lord my God, but I don't always love my neighbor. I don't keep the commandments as I should. And how should we keep the commandments? With perfection. If you break one, you break them all. And if you don't keep them perfectly all the time, then you are a failure. So the Bible here very clearly teaches us that we're failures at achieving the goal that we're trying to achieve in our own power. So what do we do? Well, John chapter 6, verse 28 has the answer. Again, the Jews were arguing. Then they say unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And what does he say? Except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Have you ever gone through the book of Revelation, the first two chapters where he talks to the churches? I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works. On down the line. What does this works mean? I know your belief system. I know how you think. I know where your heart is. This is what God is saying when he says, I know your works. Here is how he complimented Abraham. Have you ever read the stories of Abraham? Very interesting character. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So this is why we want to get back to the point where we need to love Jesus, not because it's a commandment, but because it's out of appreciation and adoration for the one who saved us, who made us right with God by what he did and not we ourselves. You start studying what he did instead of what you're doing, and then you'll start relaxing, because many people are torturing themselves because they're never satisfied with what they're doing. They're forever trying to keep in line, keep themselves in line. And I recommend it, do it. But don't kill yourself trying, because you're going to be a failure. So I have to depend on what Jesus did for me. That's where my righteousness comes from. Because when I depend on what he did, he took my place for him. That's where we need to see and understand. That's where the peace that passes all understanding comes from. If we know that he did it for us. Do we know? Are we sure? Or are we not quite satisfied with that? Well, I have settled this in my heart years ago. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And I have been blessed throughout the years because of what he did. Remember years ago when we first started out, all the stories they had against me? I'm telling you, I could write a book, and it was nasty if I paid attention. Did it bother me? Not a bit. Why? Because I knew I was right. How do I know I was right? Because the Word of God teaches me I was right. My wife asked me an interesting question this morning when we came to church. I wonder if all those people who left with us are glad that they did. Are you glad? Hallelujah. Why? Why would you be glad? It's such a controversy. It is because we followed the Lord to where he wanted us to be. Because our hearts were set on a treasure that nobody can take from us. And we knew in our hearts the word of God does not lie. We knew we had their treasure. And not only was I glad when I left, I am getting more glad today. I was discussing something yesterday with a friend of mine about why it's in, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about the guys that did all these exploits for God. They could stop the mouth of lions. They could defeat armies. But then there were a precious few who didn't want deliverance. Why didn't they want deliverance? Because they wanted out of here. Where did they go? Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He could have stood up against those people and spoke to them, and they would have been blinded, because Jesus was standing. He wasn't sitting. He was ready to stand on Stephen's behalf. But Stephen said, even before he felt the rocks hitting him, "Lord, forgive them. Adios. I'm out of here. Take my spirit." Because he saw heaven and he was gone. That's why he didn't want deliverance. He saw what was going on. I was at a funeral not too long ago, and the preacher made a very interesting statement that had me laughing and almost crying. Remember the when Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead? But before he went to the grave, it says that Jesus wept. And the preacher made an interesting observation. You know why Jesus wept? You know what I feel was the problem? He saw Lazarus in paradise, enjoying himself. And he was thinking, I'm going to bring him back here. And he started to cry. He wept. So, if God gives you deliverance, are you going to stay here? I remember my Marianne, when she was on her deathbed, I said, Marianne, I know for a fact, if God would show you one instant of heaven, you would say adios immediately, regardless who's crying for you. I know you. I know that's what you do. And that's what she did. She went to be with the Lord. So God is asking us, do we want heaven? It's available for all of us. If we only dare to take it. And how do we take it? By turning to him for that salvation. It says, this is the work of God, that you believe on the one whom he has sent. And what is it? Believe for salvation. Because he gives us that salvation. And then in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, while we are here, what's the most important thing that we can do? He said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here is how it works. If you tell people about Jesus, they've heard it. And they can make up their minds whether they want to believe it. You do not have to try to make them to believe. You just preach the gospel. You tell them the way of salvation, and the rest is up to God. If he talks to them, they will see it. If they reject him, then that's too bad. The other day I was reading, I saw something on the internet that I couldn't believe, but I knew was true. How many of you know the guy John Denver? John Denver? What's the song he's singing? Country roads take me home to the place where I belong. The poor guy didn't know his home yet, but he knows it now. His dad was on his deathbed, and this guy led him to the Lord. And the dad said to this guy, could you talk to my son about Jesus? I would like him to come to the place where I am going, because I know I'm going there. So the guy went and he talked to John Denver. And he talked to him for 2 hours. He explained the way of salvation, and John Denver understood everything perfectly. He understood the way of salvation. He understood how Jesus died on the cross for him. He understood everything. And he said, do you want to accept this Jesus? And John Denver said, no. And he asked him a question. Do you know the day and the hour when you decided you want nothing to do with Jesus? And John Denver said, yes. Isn't that horrifying? Out of his own mouth, he spoke what decision he made. And for the rest of eternity, he will have to live with the consequences of his choice, where all he had to do was repent from that and turn to God. God would have accepted him, because God says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So our job is to preach the gospel, let them know. And if their eyes, if they know it, then God can work with them. I want to show you something in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent you therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent you therefore. It doesn't say repent of your sins. How many times have I tried to repent of my sins before I became a Christian? Maybe 20 times. Because I knew at the second time it doesn't work. You stop for a week or a day or a month. Not a month, forget it. For a week, maybe. Anyways, you try that. And it doesn't work. You fail. But it says, repent. Repent from what? Repent of your attitude towards God. Repent of the way you thought you're going to get into heaven. And then be converted. And then your sins shall be blotted out. And if you study the word of God, after that it says, throughout scripture, my people need to repent of their wickedness. It's the wickedness that you perform afterwards that is so hurting to God. So repent of your wickedness. But before you become a Christian, repent of your attitude towards God, your religion, and turn and be converted, and your sins will be blotted out. Isn't that easy to understand? Yes, it is. God will blot out your sins. You do not have to go through university to learn how to spell to get saved. It is very easy because God made it simple. In 1 John chapter 1 in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. How is that? Have you been cleansed from all your unrighteousness? Here is how it works. We're made of three parts. It's body, soul, and spirit. When I become a Christian, something happens to my spirit. It becomes brand new. And that spirit does not sin anymore because it has been circumcised with the circumcision of Christ. You are perfect, you are holy in God's eyes. But your body and your soul, they have to be trained. Your body can't be trained, it'll go into the dust. But your soul is going to go with your spirit. And what you don't learn here, you're going to learn there. Hallelujah. This is how God works. Because he that has begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He knows the ending because that's where he started and is working to the beginning. Hallelujah. Are you going to be perfect yet? Body, soul, and spirit? Yes. When will that happen? It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Hallelujah. That's when this glorious time will come and appear to us. We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. So open your heart to that. We are fast approaching that time when Jesus will say, it's time to close this down. Open your heart. Let it sink in because we are fast running out of time. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let the Lord bless you.
There's a dark and troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side will also be beautiful.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. On the sunny side of